The reading can be found in the New Testament section towards the back of the church Bibles on page 115 and is on the screen. It's from Acts 2, 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray together? A scripture and a prayer. Take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take even now from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of your peace. Come, Holy Spirit, take the scriptures which you've so powerfully and lovingly inspired, and the prayers of your people, and grant that each today might indeed have a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Three principles of scriptures, three pictures, and then three simple practicalities when it comes to this whole business of thinking about how the Spirit might indeed come to our lives, those sitting around us, and to this church. And if you've a heart and vision for churches elsewhere, to other churches as well. First of all, therefore, three principles from the scriptures. Perhaps with a very simple piece of introduction, it's counterintuitive for me to, as it were, not get slightly riled or upset if someone says to me, "Well, there are all sorts of contradictions in scriptures. You've got that thing said there and that thing said there." At a dinner party, a vicar would try to be civilized, but you'll take a deep breath and you think, okay, we might need to look at this in detail, but simply put, it's just not true. One end of the book to the other, it all is saying the same thing. It's God's word. Fundamentally, God is not going to contradict himself. He's God through and through. Every which way you look at him, you're going to get the same message. I'm God. And if I'm speaking my word, it's never, ever going to be a simple contradiction. Of course, you need to think about how one piece of scripture applies to another. So when we're thinking about the visitation of the Holy Spirit, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. When you hear and reflect on all that God is spirit is going to come to the human race with its great variety and interest, we need to remember that there's only one way that this is going to happen. And at no point in Holy Scripture is there a contradiction. Simply and fundamentally and principally because God is God, he is who he is, and he is always will be that. So when we look at this amazing historical revelation recorded in Holy Scriptures of the event of the first Pentecost, as it was then, so it will always be with the Holy Spirit and us. And indeed, it always has been like that. And so the principles from Scripture. First of all, you have purity. The Holy Spirit comes with tongues of fire on God's people. Fire is there frequently through the Scriptures. You remember the coals taken in Isaiah's day, resting upon his lips. Woe is me, I've seen the Lord, the Almighty, and I'm unclean. There's a something about the purity of the Holy Spirit that is visualized for us, is the principle on the day of Pentecost and across all time. Purity. The second principle in Holy Scripture that's there for the day of Pentecost and all time is the presence of God by his Spirit. Tongues of fire for purity, and the wind, or the sound of a wind, like a rushing wind, came through that place, symbolizing the very presence of God by his Spirit. Even the words of Jesus, you're not going to have the first clue what's going on unless you're born of the Spirit. Unless somehow the Spirit of God comes in actual presence into your life, you're not even going to be a baby. You've not even been born. And in fact, the very illustration that Jesus uses twicefold, the wind of the Spirit and the birth of a human child, brings this to the fore. And so now you have tongues of fire falling on these disciples on the day of Pentecost. You have a visitation quite unlike any other, but is repeated in the lives of each person who's born again. The Spirit comes and dwells them all together. Purity of God, the presence of God. Then you have the persuasion of God. At that moment that the Spirit came with tongues like fire, bringing purity, a renewed or actual bodily presence of the Holy Spirit, you could hear the wind was filling them, they were filled, and it wasn't just for them, they then spoke immediately. The principle of Scripture, as God is then, so he will always be. God always wants to speak. He speaks the world into being. Let there be light. Let there be creation. Let us see how good it is. Let me form a human being, Adam and Eve, so that somehow my image might be transmitted. Let me form a nation so that this nation can be so in awe of me that everyone that looks at them will see somehow what I was like. And then, of course, you have history. Then, of course, they go across the straight and narrow. Then, of course, the prophets come. It's not like this, it's like that. Did Adam and Eve get it right? Did the patriarchs get it right? Did they listen to the prophets? And then in these last days, I will send my son to speak to my people. I want your purity. I want to be with you and to fill you with my presence. And I'm proclaiming that persuasively to all. So persuasively. So persuasively. But of course, he rose again. Those who recognized that Adam and Eve got it wrong, those who recognized that the nation formed had failed, they weren't thinking of others. Those who have ignored the words of the prophets saw that. Those who had been responsible for the King of Love, my shepherd is, being hung there, came and witnessed his resurrection. Most of them did as they were told. Wait until someone comes with power from on high and fills you. They were purified. They had a sense of God's presence, and then they went on the persuasive mission. As soon as the tongues came, as soon as the filling came, they spoke. The wonders of God. Not where they lived, not their bank balance, not their qualifications, not anything about them. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the observable evidence of the Holy Spirit was purity, a renewed sense of the presence of God, and they spoke. And you and I would not be here unless people had heard what they said and did something about it. This is not a history book. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And God hears the prayers of his people. What was written then can be true today. So three pictures. The first is slightly amusingly and tongue-in-cheek, but there is... Thank you. Oh, well, this would make a vicar pleased, wouldn't it? Straightforward PCC meetings. Harmonious fellowships. Rapid volunteering. Exteriorizing every ounce of your humanity for the sake of other people. This is what the Church of the Holy Spirit looks like. Filled with rubbish. No word of a lie. One of the reasons I'm in this diocese is because I think an awful lot of our current bishop. So I've had many informal conversations and a few formalities. One of his throwaway lines is, "Ah, Mark, the amount of rubbish I have to deal with." No Christian disciple, no witness for Jesus can ever avoid rubbish. It's where you have to go. Look at the world. And, of course, I'm just speaking about myself. As the blistering purity of heaven's eyes gaze upon my soul, what does he see? Adam and Eve. It wasn't them that took the apple. I did. One of the difficulties many people have in sincerely receiving the Holy Spirit, they sometimes feel they're not worthy enough, they're not good enough, or they've done something wrong. The even greater folly is to try and make amends by covering that up. And bettering yourself, or even worse still, making someone else feel lesser that you can feel better. That really is not what it's about. One dear Christian man I know, in fact he probably rates as the most saintliest person I've met, says this prayer every day. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we can perfectly love you and worthily magnify to others your holy name. Pentecost could come to an individual when those sorts of prayers are said. Thank you for the visual aid. We better leave that one now. The second visual aid is my fingerprint. My very expensive iPhone has the misfortune of looking at me most days and checking my face out to see whether it's going to let me in or not. No wonder it's getting increasingly depressed. But my computer's, the one at home at work, has got fingerprint recognition. This normally works very well, other than when I've had a nail polishing session and need to remove nail varnish, and it gets kind of stuck all over it. That's never going to happen, let me tell you. Joachim Jeremias, the Jewish theologian, says that when God touches someone's life, he never ever leaves identical fingerprints. Don't try and copy someone else. That's already been taken. There's only one of you, one unique fingerprint, one unique DNA, one unique history. And when God, by his Spirit, comes to you, it will be just for you. And then the third illustration actually is the person sitting next to you, to your left and your right, to your front and your rear. Remember the wheelie bin for purity. Remember your fingerprints for your individuality. But remember in the scriptures the impartation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you with power and you'll be my witnesses. The Greek is always plural. And in an age which is marked by rampant individualism, I want to get my way, by overdosing on subjectivism, it really has to feel good or I'm not going to do anything, we need to be completely and radically countercultural. It's not about me. It's not about what I want to feel, tingles on the back of the neck or wherever else you want to mention. The Church of England is getting quite popular, being quite free about many parts of its anatomy. None of that will do. Somehow you'll need to subjugate your individual preferences to be with others who have found Jesus, and it's only when the heavenly gaze looks down upon a congregation or a people and sees the you gathered that the Spirit will come. Sadly, I have to say that church weekly attendance is going off the boil. So is fervent-hearted mission, I have to say. The two are related. Getting things as I want it and not thinking about others is on the rise. So too are frankly lame duck spiritual Christians who've never had the joy, like those first disciples did, of living, eating, working with 12 people, getting on with differences and doing simply as Jesus tells them. Then the Holy Spirit comes. Three practicalities and I'll draw to a conclusion. I've found these to be true in individuals' lives and in the lives of countless churches. There are many other things that could be said. Ask. You'll need to ask. Your clergy can't do it for you. No matter how good the music is, they can't do it for you. The oil that you'll be offered can't do it for you, but you will have to ask. How much more then will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit if you ask? That sermon had 6 times underlined, ask, 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 seek, seek, find, find, knock, knock. Please just ask. But I've noticed too there's an awareness of time that needs consideration. On the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire came, the room was filled with the presence of God, and they spoke, and it did happen at that time. Probably because we have an element of reservedness about us, but I've found many people asking for a sense of the Holy Spirit or to be filled find frequently it never happens at that moment. Their wife or their husband would recognize it later on in the week. If it's a young person, 2 or 3 months afterwards, they'll be speaking to the youth worker and saying, there's something happening here. If you live on your own, you'll be conscious of lifestyle shifts. That is the work of God. Things you can't do yourself, otherwise he'd have let you get on with it. But things you need his help for, this is where you ask. And the awareness in time will come. Let me conclude with this wonderful thought of anticipation. If longing is your vocabulary, if desire is your soul thirst, if willingness, even just to suffer a little bit of embarrassment, is your volitional disposition, then you are supremely qualified to be receiving the Holy Spirit. You're waiting for Sunday lunch. You're apathetic. You're arrogant, just for them, not for me. I don't mean this to be humorous, actually, I mean quite seriously. God will look at the Methodists and shower him with blessings. Or the Roman Catholics that get an impartation. Or even those weirdy, wacky house church movements that have got no bishop, they're going to get something. And the person that's sitting next to you, they'll be nice about it, but they receive something. But you, dear friend, nah, it won't be as good as it could be. Come, Holy Spirit, bring your purity, bring your presence, release me to be the person I can be. Come down, O love divine. What a brilliant hymn. Come down, O love divine. Why would he want something that is not loving in the heart of God? That has not got your best interests at heart. Notice how this sense of anticipation is in this wonderful hymn that I'll conclude with before we pray. And so the yearning strong with which the soul will long shall far outpass the power of human telling, for none can guess its grace till love create a place wherein the Holy Spirit makes a dwelling. Even you and I this day, for our beloved church and brothers and sisters, all those in this country and overseas who witness to Christ that God's love could be known. Let me lead you in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, even in these quiet moments, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God has spoken, and we simply wish to obey. Come, Holy Spirit, our hearts are open. Fill even me, fill even us with your sovereign presence. For we ask it in Jesus' name.